Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Search Update.
All right, quick update on the Texans head coaching search ongoing. The latest is that they have reportedly, according to Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, put in a request to interview Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. In his first year as an NFL coordinator in L.A., they have had one of the best defenses in football. Gives you a good reason to watch Packers and Rams this weekend. Check out that Rams defense up in Green Bay.
All you need is Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey
that's
and
all.
A few other guys. That's all just as good.
Yeah. All it took to get Jalen Ramsey was two first-round picks. And, that's right.
We've got plenty of those, Sean.
Yeah.
We've still got two. Do we have a first round pick in 2022?
You're thinking of the Rockets. They've got plenty of
picks. Yeah, they've got picks. It's so weird. Yeah. A few people have noted that. It is kind of nice. The city of Houston has gone without first round picks for seemingly ever, and now we have them again.
I'm excited about being excited about the draft again.
An NBA first round pick non-lottery doesn't mean a whole lot, but at least it's a first round pick.
Depends. They might be lottery picks someday, and that's why we bring in our guest here, because he'll net it all out for us. He is the founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can hear him on SiriusXM's NBA channel. Brian Geltzeiler joining us on the program. Geltz, good morning, my friend.
Hello, boys. So good to be with you both today. How's everything? All right?
It's good, man. It's good. The James Harden era is over, and I think there's a lot of relief here in town. And now, as you can hear Seth and I just talking a moment ago, we're sort of assessing what Raphael Stone was able to pull in from the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. Geltz, I guess before we get into some of the more granular points of this, what's your overall reaction to what the Rockets are coming away with here?
Well, all right. So I think, listen, the draft considerations are vast. I mean, and they did very well there. And this is what the going price has been for a player of this caliber. And listen, when you look at it, so you look back at some of these star caliber guys that have been traded over the course of the last couple of years. So if you look at the Paul George deal, that was 5 firsts and 2 swaps in addition to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You look at the Anthony Davis haul, which was 3 firsts, I believe 2 swaps in there too, and that also had Ingram, Ball, and Josh Hart. So the player asset considerations in that were significant and much more meaningful than I think here. You even look at Drew Holiday, which was 3 picks, 2 swaps, Bledsoe, which wasn't a wonderful contract. I know people like to gloss over that, but it was not a great contract that Milwaukee was getting rid of to make that deal done, and George Hill, who was cap fodder. So, and Holiday's made 1 All-Star team. This is what a 3-time runner-up MVP, a multi-time scoring champion, a 1-time MVP can net you, which was essentially Victor Oladipo, who was a former All-NBA caliber guy, has not been that guy in 3 years, looking a little better this year, but still not quite that guy on an expiring deal. Dante Exum, who is, you know, hasn't been the same since a knee injury, 4 first-round picks, which, you know, if the Nets are good, will all be lower. And part of this is the Rockets counting on the Nets imploding a little bit. Some of this is a little bit of confirmation bias. And we had James here. James spent more time unhappy than happy, and he blew us up here. He has the potential to blow up Brooklyn. Let's cash in on him blowing up Brooklyn. And I do get that, because ultimately those are the picks that they could get. So here's what I'll say. The Rockets do badly. I don't think they did badly. Here's what bothers me about the deal. I don't know why. I do know why you don't keep LeVert and Allen. You don't keep LeVert and Allen because ultimately they were looking for some financial flexibility. And I don't think Tillman Fertitta, A, wanted to pay Jared Allen as a restricted free agent coming up in this offseason. And B, I think he looked at LeVert's, you know, being signed to a 3-year deal and deciding that if he wanted to go year to year on the cap and on contracts, it's not about signing free agents, I'll tell you that. But going year to year on the cap and contracts, I don't think he wanted to be tied into LeVert's deal. In my estimation, LeVert's a better player than Oladipo right now. Caris LeVert, he's about 2.5 years younger, but beyond that, is LeVert is a guy that has a lot of versatility. If you look at his per 36 minute numbers versus Oladipo's, his are significantly better. That's the part that bothers me about the deal. If you had came out of it with LeVert, Allen, 3 firsts, I would have liked that better than Oladipo, Exum, and 4 firsts just because of the Milwaukee first. Keep in mind that they got that Milwaukee first, but it was also part of that was getting off Prince's money too. So a lot of this was financially motivated. Again, this is the situation Rocket fans are in. I'll also say this. It's been a really nice 15-year run for the Rockets here. Yeah. It really has. All NBA franchises go through these kinds of down periods. It happens in a variety of different ways. This is just kind of how it's shaking out and happening for the Rockets.
Well, and you mentioned the prospect of the Nets blowing up or imploding at some point, which I would expect too. I mean, not just because of these three personalities, but because that's life in the NBA. But between Kyrie Irving, the emotion of Kevin Durant, James Harden being James Harden, what's your over-under on how long that those three actually stay intact and when the Rockets actually start getting more value out of those first-round picks?
Well, let's start with this, Seth. They actually have to get intact before they can stay intact because Kyrie Irving's not there, and there's really not a clear indication when he's going to come back. And I actually do think that part of this deal was to light a fire underneath Kyrie. Kyrie is not interested in playing basketball right now, which happens to be pretty inconvenient because he's being paid about $37 million this year to play basketball. So I think at one point or another, sooner rather than later, that's going to have to be reconciled. Either you're coming back or you're playing ball with your team or you're not. And some of this was done to say, hey, listen, Kyrie, we're ready to go forward without you. So I think that's a big part of this. So I'll say this about Brooklyn. Kevin Durant has looked fantastic. Kevin Durant has been back to his MVP self. He is leading that team. He is the alpha dog. And let's face it, he's also the engine behind this trade. He has the owner's ear in a way that, frankly, the team president, Sean Marks, doesn't have the owner's ear. Because I don't think Sean Marks wanted to send 4 picks or 3 picks and 3 swaps out to get James Harden. Kevin Durant wanted it, and he got his way, which is what happens in today's NBA. I'll also tell you this. I think that Steve Nash is struggling a little bit, and that's, to me, my larger concern with this team. Listen, I'm not buying this. There's, you know, not enough basketballs on the floor for these three guys. We can say a lot of things about James Harden, guys, and you guys understand James Harden very well. I haven't been in that market a long time. He's a lot of things. He's not dumb. He understands that going to Brooklyn means sacrificing some of his numbers and having to play more with guys than really he ever did in Houston. And I personally think after seeing James in the second half of last year playing with a hot Russell Westbrook, I think James is ready to do that. My worry is what happens on defense. Like, I don't know that you can hide Irving in the way that you have to hide Irving on defense. Harden needs to be not hidden on the perimeter. He's a good interior defender, but you have to create infrastructure for him to be able to do that. You're looking at a team where you only have really 2+ defenders on the roster in Durant and Bruce Brown right now. And the reality is when you look at your finishing five, which is Jordan, Durant, Joe Harris, Irving, and Harden, you have to figure out with Jordan, who's over the hill defensively, is not the same he used to be. You got to figure out with Durant and Joe Harris how to cover for Harden and Irving. Look, they don't need to have an elite defense to be a championship caliber team. They need to have kind of an average one. And I don't even know that I see that there for them. So to me, that's where the implosion lies. The other thing is this, and just as an aside, I don't think Steve Nash is doing a great job right now. Steve Nash is learning on the fly, and it's been really, really bumpy. He threw Kyrie under the bus last week, which was a bad move considering he wasn't Kyrie's pick. You got to cover for Kyrie. As crazy as Kyrie Irving is, and I know he's got some issues too regarding things, and he kind of thinks he has a higher calling in this world. And again, $37 million to play basketball with a higher calling. None of it all makes that much sense, and he's going to have to make some major life decisions very soon. With that said, you keep those issues in-house. You don't throw them under the bus publicly. Nash did that out of aggravation. Not a great move, and it wouldn't shock me. I will say this. If this thing continues to kind of muddle around 500 and doesn't kind of ascend once you get Harden there, wouldn't surprise me if they look at the option of moving Mike D'Antoni over 18 inches and tell him, Nash, hey, thanks, bud. Didn't work out.
Oh, can you imagine? Daryl Morey sniffing around John Harden as the GM in Philly, and then all of a sudden Mike D'Antoni becomes the coach of James Harden in Brooklyn. Hey, Gelch, real quick, before I get, I want to ask you about Philly. Do you think Kyrie Irving thinks that James Harden's stomach is flat?
I don't think anybody can look at James Harden's stomach and think it's flat right now. And listen, you know, and but part of this with James is he's got to, you know, he's going to come here now and be up in this area in Brooklyn. And there's Kevin Durant is holding everybody accountable in Brooklyn right now. Mm-hmm. This is Kevin Durant's organization. And the way he's handled himself in that organization and ascended to a leadership spot on every level is great for the Nets. James is going to have to buy in from a conditioning standpoint. The party's over. You know what I mean? It's and listen, there's great strip clubs in New York, just like there are in Houston, and he can have his fun and make it rain. But you want to know something? Somebody's got to remind James Harden at this point that when you hit the white with the knife and fork, that's the plate, dude. All right, and we don't want to necessarily be getting to that point. So James Harden's got to really, really get himself in some major condition here to be able to keep up what Kevin Durant's doing.
I think there's the more of an organized crime influence in the strip clubs in New York than down in Texas, though, too. So it's not quite the frivolous endeavor. James has to watch himself. Brian Geltzeiler, founder of HoopsCritic.com. He's on SiriusXM NBA. Brian, how are you feeling so far about Rafael Stone and Stephen Silas?
All right, let's start with Stephen Silas. I got to tell you something. I can't give this guy more credit, man. He's put a silk hat on a pig here. He's handled this with candor, dignity, grace. He's been honest about it. He's managed to do what he's had to do to let the other guys on this roster that weren't James Harden respect him. And that's really hard when you're in this spot. I think that's the way Silas has handled this has earned him a ton of credibility up and down this organization. And I really think he's done well. Listen, Rafael Stone's in a tough spot, Seth, you know, because ultimately, He has to please a couple different masters here. Okay, on one hand, yes, you want to get draft considerations. You understand that you are going into a rebuild. You also have an owner that's got financial issues. And the owner stepping on your head financially to do things that may not be the best interest of basketball, i.e., you know, move on from LeVert and Allen when they're two jewel asset pieces at player asset pieces in this. And that's a tough position for him. Stone is managing it, I think, pretty well here. I think he's doing a decent job. I liked what he did with the Westbrook Wall trade. He taking the Wall contract, especially if he knew you were going to trade Harden and there's a salary floor in this league, was absolutely the right move to make because you collected a pick. I think Stone's going to do okay here from what I've seen early on. But again, managing what's happening with this owner and how he's going to be financially. And listen, it's a tough environment financially for a lot of teams in the league. Fertitta is not alone in that. So I'm not, you know, pun not intended, I'm not throwing stones at him. I understand that, listen, he's in the restaurant casino business, and we're going to take 10 months into a global pandemic. This is a brutal environment for him. So he's got to do what he's got to do financially. But I do think Stone, in fighting an uphill battle, is doing a decent job of really distinguishing himself as a decent executive.
Geltz, about a minute. So quickly, put the financial considerations aside for why they made this deal with Brooklyn, just as a basketball deal, would they have been better off doing a deal with the Sixers that would have involved Ben Simmons?
Yes. Listen, Ben Simmons is a first-team all-defensive player. He, to me, is the best perimeter defender in the NBA. He was a third-team all-NBA player last year. He's a guy that if he is unleashed on a team where it is all his show, I think he can be absolutely amazing. And I do think that's where the financial considerations came in, Shawnee. I know we want to cast him aside for the purposes of this question. Simmons was the best player they possibly could have gotten for James Harden. They would not have gotten the draft considerations. I think it would have worked well. It would have been a little bit of an interesting thing to watch him and Wall together. Yeah. And I think that may have played into things as well because they both need the ball a lot. But to me, I would have taken the best player I could get. And, you know, listen, to a lot of teams, the fact that he's in the first year of a five-year extension would have been a major advantage. I think it was looked at in Houston as a disadvantage for the amount of money that he's owed. And you look at that between Wall and Simmons, and you're running the neighborhood of $75 million a year, you wouldn't have a lot of room to do a lot of other things. I think that was kept in mind here as well. And I also think that Fertitta, with the way things are going with the pandemic, wants to be able to have some flexibility, which is just Oladipo is going to want a max deal at the end of the year. The Rockets aren't going to be the ones to pay it to him. He's probably a one and done here. And that's why I look at the deal with a little bit of skepticism. But I would think that Simmons, you know, if it was me doing it, understanding that, listen, the money considerations are significant, but there's no doubt from a player standpoint, Ben Simmons was clearly the best return you could have gotten.
Geltz, I'm seeing smoke here on our text page and on Twitter that Oladipo doesn't want to play in Houston. You know, that he's already seeking a trade out of Houston, don't want to play for the Rockets. What do you think of that?
I had heard that last night. Yeah. And because he was ultimately Oladipo would like to be in Miami. But by the same token, you know, listen, he should give Kawhi Leonard a call. You know what? Go to Houston, work your tail off, do the best job you can this year, and then you're free to go wherever you want at the end of the season. This is part of the deal in being an NBA player. So as much as he doesn't want to be there, and that's great, he also, here's the other thing, you're 3 years removed from being a third-team All-NBA guy. Like, you don't have that kind of cachet right. to be able to, like, James Harden. James Harden can wield that kind of power. This kind of power is not wieldable. I guess I don't even know if that's a word, but it's not wieldable for a guy like Victor Oladipo. So he can hem and haw all he wants. He's got to get there. And for the Rockets, this is kind of a nightmare scenario because you get rid of one guy that was completely disgruntled and not happy there, and you bring in another guy that hasn't even arrived on a plane to Houston yet, and he's acting like a malcontent. So it's a tough spot for the Rockets. Again, Silas, I have confidence in his ability to manage it. But I do think that's one of the reasons I go back to, I would have been better off keeping LeVert and Allen and doing it that way and not hitting rock bottom. And go into this Oladipo on an expiring with the knowledge that you're not going to sign him to an extension.
Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA, and founder of HoopsCritic.com. Geltz, I look forward to talking to you and Sam Mitchell on your SiriusXM show on Saturday morning, my friend. A little home and home action.
I can't wait to do that. And by the way, Seth's not far behind. We may reach out to him regarding Super Bowl Sunday and get him on NBA radio to kind of educate us a little bit on the football side. So we're going to have some fun this weekend, Sean. And Seth, I'm getting your number from Sean, and you're up next, brother.
Oh, awesome. Cool. No, I look forward to it. That'll be great.
Yeah.
We'll have some fun. We'll have some fun.
It is a fun show.
Thanks, guys.
Geltz, thank you.
Appreciate you both. Always fun. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Brian Geltzeiler, he's the best. I love talking to him. When it comes to the NBA. All right. We have Darren Revelle joining us at the bottom of the hour. Up next, a lot of turmoil going on with the Texans right now. Repairing it is actually, in my opinion, pretty easable and very doable. Just a few things that need to take place. Will Cal McNair do it? We'll outline the plan next.
I've come to understand that it's been reported that Deshaun Fields left out of the process, that he and I had several visits, and I understood his point of view before meeting with candidates. I've reached out to Deshaun about Nick's hire, and I look forward to him getting back to me when he returns from his vacation.
He has returned from his vacation. He was at the Rockets game the other night. You think Deshaun Watson and Cal McNair have spoken, Seth? We don't know.
Let's see. What are the odds? I'm going to say they have.
Yeah?
I think they have.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, especially because I think if Deshaun genuinely wants his input to be heard, he'll have talked to Nick Caserio, right? So,
they're requesting interviews for head coaches. If you want to have input, you better give it now because they may. They might be on a plane this afternoon to go pick up a head coach who got coffee for Belichick four times in his career or something like that.
Yeah. The only thing I would worry about is that I think that it goes beyond just having some input into the coach search or just any kind of a personal issue he has with Jack Easterby. I don't know if he personally has an issue with Jack Easterby. Whatever it might be, I mean, there's probably multiple things that he'd like to hash out, and that doesn't happen by not communicating.
Right.
At that point, you know what, I guess, Sean? Like, right now, for the most part, most people seem to be on the side of Deshaun Watson. I'm on the side of Deshaun Watson because it seems like he is objecting to a lot of the things that have gone on over the last 2 years, and especially what led to this season. He's objecting to those things. If somehow it turned into a situation where he was objecting to it, but then not also working with Nick Caserio or working with Cal McNair to try to rectify them, then people are going to start to feel a little bit like, it's a bad analogy, but a little bit like, well, when Royce White had his complaints but wouldn't work with the team.
Right.
Now, Royce White never did a damn thing in professional sports or athletics or for the Rockets. So that was very easy to side up against Royce White. But Royce White kept saying he wanted all these things, but then wouldn't work with the team or even tell them what he actually wanted. I don't expect Deshaun Watson to be like that. I expect him to talk to these guys. So you ask me, has he talked to him? I say, yes, I think he has.
Okay. One more from Cal. Here is Cal from that press conference last week on J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson.
In regards to 499, they're valued members on our team. They're important to the team and the city. They're passionate, and they want to win. And those are all totally in alignment with where we're going and what we've done here in bringing Nick aboard. So it's perfect. We're totally aligned.
Totally aligned. Totally aligned. Passion, want to win. Therefore, we've all checked the boxes.
Are you anything like me? With the first time I heard him say, when he said 4 and 99, I just heard him say 499. And because it's approaching tax season, I got a little, my sphincter tightened up a little bit. I was like, wait, what's this form 499? I don't even know this form.
I did have to do that thing where I'm like, wait, what did he just say? And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, 4 and 99. You know, he's being colloquial. There were some people that were like, boy, that's disrespectful to call them by their number.
I'm
like,
that's
how they do it. That's the lingo. Yeah, they call it. Yeah. Some teammates call him. J.J. Watt calls Deshaun Watson 4. That's what he calls him. All right. So
we got T-shirts with the Deshaun Watson with the 4 yes. in place of one of the letters and everything. Yeah.
All right, Seth, some of these things may sound obvious, but this is a repairable situation for the Texans, okay. Right? If there's turmoil with Deshaun Watson, possibly turmoil with other players in the building over there. We don't know how J.J. Watt feels about the whole thing. Those are the two most important guys. Deshaun is a cut above everybody because of his age, how good he is at his job, the position he plays. The 5-point plan to repair this thing. The first thing they need to do, they don't have to fire Jack Easterby. They just need to concoct a mutual parting of the ways with Jack Easterby.
Oh, yeah.
If you're worried about Jack Easterby, is he going to be able to find another job? And is this going to damage his career? Because I feel like Cal McNair is friendly with Jack Easterby, in addition to, for some reason, respecting his opinion on things that he's not qualified to give an opinion on. And when I say he's not qualified to give his opinion, then I would think we would get better answers when asked questions like this about Jack Easterby.
Can you list Jack Easterby's specific skills that make him so attractive to you as far as keeping him around, as far as he's worth this drama, he's worth the perception? What specifically does he bring to the table? Thank you.
Well, Jack's very gifted in a lot of different areas, and those areas will be things that Nick will need as he moves into his role as GM. It won't be roster. It won't be free agency. You know, like I said before, those are the GM jobs that Nick is doing. And he will look to Jack to do some of these other things that Jack has done really well in the past.
So it'd be like if my wife were pressed to say what I'm good at sexually, she'd be like, well, look, he does. There's a lot of stuff he doesn't do well. Okay, I'll tell you that much. But the other stuff, I rely on him until technology catches up to me and I can do away with him completely.
We're assuming that there's some toy out there that does all the other things inside the building.
She's like, why is there an update on these male sex robots? Right. Please tell me there's an update.
Right, yeah. Right, the sex Roomba.
Hey, any Roomba can be a sex Roomba.
You never know.
If
you're, used
if
properly,
you're desperate enough.
Used properly. So, Seth, back to the matter at hand.
Yeah, okay.
They need to concoct a mutual parting of the ways with Jack Easterby. I think that solves like 90% of the problems.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I'm sure like Jack Easterby, because he's a holy man, would just love to like have a chance to go maybe work with like youth basketball teams in Haiti or something.
Right,
because
yeah,
the money's not a factor, right?
Yeah. Habitat for Humanity or the Red Cross or something. So that's number one. Number two, you sit Deshaun once that's done. And even if that's not done yet, this needs to happen. You sit Deshaun Watson down with Nick Caserio and nobody else. As long as they're in this mode where they don't have a head coach, I honestly hope that Deshaun's reached out to Cal only because that bridge is broken right now. It does need to at least be repaired in terms of the two having spoken to one another. But when it comes to substantive football things, I want Nick Caserio working on this. I don't want anybody else working on this with Deshaun Watson. Sit him down with the general manager and get Nick Caserio feeling... Get Deshaun feeling better by talking to Nick Caserio, because I think Nick Caserio's got the personality to do that.
Yeah, and one thing Deshaun said was there's just basically too many cooks in the kitchen or too many people that think they have power.
Yeah.
It's hard not to connect the dots on that and see what the situation was like with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, where Jack Easterby was sitting in a room with Bill O'Brien. Anytime a player went to go meet with Bill O'Brien, there's some kind of power struggle, like just too much drama,
yeah.
Just way too much drama. Sit him down with the actual football people, not these glorified, nonsensical character coach types,
right.
Just the actual football people.
This is number three, involve Deshaun and communicate with him. And I said going into this segment, these sound like basic things, but these are things that the organization is not executing right now. So I need to point them out. Like a parent points them out to the kid, like don't touch the hot stove. That needs to be pointed out sometimes. I put it in all caps, involve Deshaun and communicate with him. It's manners, it's courtesy, especially if you've told him you would do that. So involve him and communicate with him. And I would say this should all lead to number four, pick a head coach that he likes. That's my main criteria for picking a head coach right now, Seth. I care about the other stuff, but if you're asking me, what are you looking for in a head coach? I'm looking for whatever Deshaun Watson is looking for.
Well, and at the very, and this doesn't have to be a hand selection type of thing, but I think the biggest thing I would want, Sean, is that if I were Deshaun Watson, I'd almost just want veto power. Like, wait a second. Like, not this guy. Okay, I understand you guys have, like, five different guys that you think would work well with this team. Because it's not just about Deshaun. And I think Deshaun understands that. It's not just... I think sometimes we frame this like, oh, Deshaun wants the coach who's going to be the absolute best offensive coordinator. And that is not clear. I hope what Deshaun wants is the absolute best head football coach, which means how he works with special teams, how he works with the defense, all of that. So when I go on in other cities, it's kind of alarming to me how many people think that Deshaun specifically wants Eric Bieniemy and Eric Bieniemy alone.
Right.
It's been framed that way in a lot of ways. I've never gotten that sense that it has to be one specific person.
I agree. Let me ask you this real quick. If you were Deshaun, would you trade your no trade clause for the ability to handpick the head coach of the football team? Would you say I'll get rid of my no trade clause, but I get to pick the head coach?
No, because I think he still has, if I'm Deshaun, I have misgivings about ownership and Jack Easterby,
yeah.
And I'm not just ceding control of my fate to the people that have pulled off some of these moves over the last few
years. That's the right answer. I was just curious what you thought, and obviously it would never happen, but I just trying to gauge how much you think Deshaun wants to pick that head coach. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm not reporting anything or anything there. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess, putting all the pieces together.
Last one is once you do all this stuff, once you've concocted a mutual parting of the ways with Jack Easterby, once you sit Deshaun Watson down and get him comfortable with Nick Caserio, once you go through this process with Deshaun as somebody who's involved in it, who's in the loop on communications, and once you actually take that process and pick a head coach, then let the real personnel folks start fixing the roster. Let Nick Caserio, with zero input from any other parts of the building other than the personnel parts of the building, start fixing this roster. The too many cooks in the kitchen that Deshaun Watson talked about, that dynamic cannot exist anymore. Let the adults fix the roster. Don't let the equivalent of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easter be up in a treehouse with their toys in one corner, a stack of their dad's Playboys in the other corner in their treehouse up there. Start working on the roster. Let the adults do it, Seth.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think we do have that with Caserio.
I do too.
At the very least, it's like that's the nice thing about Caserio, if it weren't for all the other drama, is that you can't find anybody to say anything bad about him. I think there's legitimate questions as to, how anybody handles that role when they're on it on their own. There's criticisms of the Patriots' last several drafts. All that's very, very fair. But at the core of it all, he's a really bright and competent general manager.
This sounds weird to say.
Bright and competent football person. We'll see about as a general manager.
Yeah, it sounds weird to say this. My biggest fear about Nick Caserio is not Nick Caserio. You know what I mean? Like, my biggest fear of Nick Caserio is what's going to go on around Nick Caserio and how much he's impacted by that. Darren Revelle, Action Network. He joins us each and every week. Want to find out what he's picking this weekend in these playoff games. I also want to get the opinion of somebody outside of Houston, because obviously Houston is at the forefront of a lot of the big news items right now. What's the most intriguing thing to somebody outside of Houston about what's going on in Houston right now with our teams? That's next with Darren Revelle. Payne and Pendergast, in the midst of all this drama in Houston, James Harden traded, who knows what Deshaun Watson wants. Hey, the Astros pitchers and catchers report in a few weeks. We're at the one-year anniversary yesterday of the Astros having to gut their front office because of a sign-stealing scandal. So I always like talking to people around the country, and we talk to Darren Revelle each and every week of the Action Network, and we bring him in right now. Hey, Darren, as somebody who does not live in Houston, but I know you're up to speed on a lot of the things going on down here because it's national news, which Houston storyline do you find to be most intriguing as somebody who does not necessarily, you know, doesn't live here and you're not in it every day?
From a sports business, like who I am standpoint, it's definitely the Texans. You know, just the dysfunctionalism is just mind blowing to me. So that's just my take. I think nationally, there are a lot of those things are disconnected. Like if you're an NFL fan, you're thinking about, you know, potentially the Texans. I think it's much smaller outside your sphere. But you know, it's each of it is different. But I think obviously from the Texan standpoint and this year and Bill O'Brien and the disconnect with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins screaming, you know, now having left. It's one of the biggest dysfunction stories I've seen.
Yeah, it's a soap opera. And then there's the James Harden trade. And they, you know, they kind of got rid of their soap opera yesterday. Look, you live up that way where James is going to be applying his trade. Now, what exactly is James walking into up there in terms of pressure? Or, I mean, where do the Brooklyn Nets, you know, they've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, so they've obviously made a lot of investments in the team up there. What kind of pressure is James Harden walking into and expectations with the Brooklyn Nets up that way?
I mean, it's a unique situation in that it's still not Knicks pressure. Right. Like Knicks pressure is still more than Nets pressure, even if they have everyone that they have. Now, Kyrie, when Stephen A. Smith said yesterday, you know, I think he should retire, I actually thought there was a chance that Kyrie would retire. having been around him enough, having heard what he says, he's one of those guys that would retire. Now he's got like $32 million guaranteed, but like that he has to think about. But Kyrie is a guy who I could never quite figure out. It's very hard to analyze the deal. You know, I think like 60% of people I polled said the Rockets won. You know, there's thought here that Caris LeVert just does not get the credit that he deserves, that he's continuing to be on the rise. And then, you know, this seems like, you know, it's a little bit different, but as far as having a hard time getting your hands around this, a hard grasp of things, it seems like the Ricky Williams Saints trade, you know, with the draft picks every other year. Yeah. And it makes it harder to analyze.
We're speaking with Darren Revelle from the Action Network, and follow him on Twitter at Darren Revelle. How has Vegas reacted to this? How has this improved the Nets' chances?
Yeah, I mean, so the Nets were already you know, either the first or second biggest liability for the sports books. Pretty much opened the preseason at 15-1, got down to 6-1, was hanging around 6-1, 5-1 yesterday, and then went to 3-1 or plus 250. Only the Lakers have better odds than them, and barely. You know, I think they actually probably had to lower them or shorten them beyond what their real odds are because they already have so much liability on them.
Hey, Darren, do you think that all this player movement in the NBA, and James Harden is just the latest one, but you go back and look at the All-Star game from 2-3 years ago, literally half the guys who played in that All-Star game play for different teams now than they played 2 or 3 years ago. And I know it makes July a lot of fun and the trade deadline a lot of fun, But overall, for interest in the league, do you think it's good for the league that there's been this much player movement with the elite players in the league?
I think that people now find this to be the new reality. I don't want to be the old man yelling at clouds saying, you know, this is not how that this is not how it was when I was a child and it was better back then. But I think it's kind of just the state of the business. I don't know whether in the long term it hurts things. I will tell you that I'm glad they have a NBA jersey insurance policy that covers you up to 18 months.
No kidding.
I'm right there with you as far as trying like hell not to be the angry old man. I'm trying not to be a boomer. I'm trying to at least stay a Gen Xer. But we have this situation now with Deshaun Watson, and I think that the notable thing with the Deshaun Watson situation is that so far, Sean, what would you estimate? Like 97% of our listeners and fans in Houston seem to be on Deshaun Watson's side.
Yeah.
And I think, but a big part of that is that Deshaun has not actually requested a trade that we know of and certainly isn't demanding a trade. But even in kind of raising a voice and allowing trade rumors to continue, I think normally a lot of players would receive a lot more scrutiny. What do you see as the difference in this situation?
Well, I think some of it is the prior dysfunctionalism, as I referenced. I mean, when Cal McNair gets up there and says something, people are like, what? Like I'm not. And then I also think the JJ, the fact that JJ appears to be lost with the Texans also helps. So it seems like, there's momentum on the side of the Texans don't know what they're doing. So that means that there's going to be more sympathy for Deshaun Watson. And I agree. I think the national perception is that Deshaun Watson is not out of line with basically a breakdown of communication that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it was just, it feels like basic stuff, right, Darren? You're going to involve the guy. I mean, I've said all along, it just feels like manners. You know what I mean? Like, if you say you're going to call somebody. Like, this feels like it was, I think there's deeper issues going on with the franchise overall, but this particular issue, if this is what triggered it, seemed like it was something that was completely avoidable, right?
Right. All while you have the president of the team with a best-selling book called The Winning Game Plan.
Yeah.
Well, for now, he's the president of the team. That's
right.
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
and that's the other side of it too, Darren, is that, and this obviously doesn't get headlines or anything or a whole lot of clicks, but it's not just Deshaun Watson or any other players or Andre Johnson. I mean, the Texans organization itself has seemingly been shaken up a little bit. You have employees like Jamie Ruth and others who genuinely thought hook, line, and sinker that the Texans were going to hire one of the Corn Ferry recommended candidates, that they were going to have input. You know, it's not just Deshaun that thought he was going to have input. And that's where I get really nervous, because then it's not even a player versus management dispute. It is a entire and complete dysfunctional franchise issue, and then you become the Cincinnati Bengals and what have you. I don't know where you turn that around.
It's very important that the player, especially now more than ever before, because players can always go to the media themselves. Don't forget, you had the Amy Pouchich situation. Like, there's been a lot of things that have gone against the Texans as far as people, you know, not believing their side. But like, it's more important now than ever before to make sure that you're doing your best to treat, you know, players or make them feel good, because they can always turn around outside a press conference and say whatever they want at any time. And yeah, I do think players think they're more entitled than they were in the past. They want more. They feel like they're supposed to have more power. But at the same time, if there are all these marks against the organization, they're just not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Darren Revell, Action Network, joining us on the program. Darren, it looks like Urban Meyer is very, very close to becoming the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know, as a Northwestern grad, you have spent the last several years having to endure Urban Meyer in the Big Ten. I'm sure it'll be nice to have him in the AFC South instead of the instead of coming back into college football if he were to come back. But what are your thoughts on Urban Meyer as the head coach of not just the Jags and Trevor Lawrence, but just in general, the difference in Urban Meyer being an NFL head coach versus being a college head coach?
It's funny how his heart heals every time he gets a new job.
Oh, boy.
You got to take that shot. I think the Jaguars are probably the most interesting franchise in the NFL as far as, like, they've had no problem having their foot out the door to London. Just very strange to have those two games, not at home. And I understand the strategy. I like Shad Khan a lot. I think he's a, let's go against the Texans here. I think he's a good people manager. He lets people do the right things. I'm not sure he hires the right people, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So once he gets, I think he's understanding of how organizations work. But it's hard. I mean, the thing is that I feel like an organization has to be all on one page and has to have a ton of good players. This is not the NBA. This is out of all the four major sports, the NFL is the toughest to get down, and a number one draft pick means, I think, out of all of them, baseball and hockey, those guys are a little bit farther from the big show, which makes it different. But if you're going to compare the NBA and the NFL as far as people who go into the league right away, I think having a number one NBA draft pick is much different than an NFL draft pick. So obviously having a quarterback is fine. They just have to have, the other pieces. And as far as Urban goes, I mean, it's a completely different game, college and the pros.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Darren.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just struck with the irony, and now I feel a little bit nauseous of the fact that, we were having this discussion 14 days ago about what was the best destination, and Houston had a lot of arguments that it was the best destination. And partly through the comments of Deshaun Watson and kind of opening up eyeballs to some of the dysfunction, the Texans have perhaps less of a chance of landing the best coaching candidate because it's fallen down. So Deshaun, who wants a really good coach, may have also perhaps inadvertently knocked the Texans down a notch or two on the desirability. I think Deshaun's doing the right thing. That you got to take care of the dysfunction before you land the coach.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Anything public, just spins out of control. And I think the national perception of the Texans is right now a disaster.
Yeah.
If you were Urban Meyer, let's say you take that job in Jacksonville, you've got two first round picks. You've got two second round picks. Obviously one of them is the first overall pick. You have more cap space than anybody else in the league. I believe it's somewhere around $80 million. Yeah, would you prefer Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson? If you could trade for Deshaun Watson.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough call. I mean, I think after I, God, that's a really tough question.
I know. And our listeners are furious with us for discussing it,
can I take the 2019 version of Deshaun Watson?
The 2020 version as an individual player is a better version than the one last year. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's interesting. Interesting. Perception isn't reality.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really tough call. Because obviously, you have a guy who's never played in the NFL, and you have a guy who's pretty much proven himself in the NFL and is an elite quarterback. I think that's very close. Yeah. I think that's very close.
You got to pick one, Darren. You can't just say it's very close. We know it's very close.
I would actually take Deshaun.
Okay, that's what I said too. Yeah. He's proven, right?
I mean, I would take Deshaun. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's proven commodity, and you're putting him in a better environment there to succeed. And he already individually didn't win games, but he was really, really efficient last year. Darren Revelle joining us on the show. Darren, Action Network, free Action Network app. You got to download it so you can follow all the bets. So before we let you go, is there anything in particular from a wagering standpoint that tickles your fancy this weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, everything is so refined. I think the most interesting game is Cleveland-Kansas City, just because you have that 10 number. Mm-hmm. And what the perception is, you know, as they beat the Steelers and the number. So, like, right now, 55% of the bets we have is on Cleveland and 54% of the money. So, you know, at plus 10, I actually like the Browns there. But to me, just because of the number, that makes it the most intriguing game of the week for me.
Yeah, double digits and arrested Kansas City. The Browns get their head coach back, so that'll be a nice lift for them as well. Darren Revelle, Action Network. I mentioned download that free Action Network app. This is a great weekend to have it with all the basketball going on, but obviously playoff football going on as well. Darren, we always appreciate the time and the insight, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there it is. Darren Revelle joining us on the program. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick little nugget from Aaron Wilson that Texans defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver is under consideration for Urban Meyer's prospective staff with the Jaguars.
Who said that last week?
Yeah, that was you.
Who has two thumbs and said that last week?
Now, that doesn't say that he's being considered as a defensive coordinator, right, perhaps as a defensive line coach, but yeah, there you go.
People should know, and the reason I said that is because Anthony Weaver was a player at Notre Dame when Urban Meyer was on Lou Holtz's staff, or on Bob Davies' staff at Notre Dame, and Anthony Weaver's first job in coaching back in 2010, I believe it was as a graduate assistant on Urban Meyer's staff in Florida. So the two have very deep ties. So that's one of the reasons, maybe not one of the reasons I wanted Urban Meyer, but I thought one of the ancillary things about Urban Meyer potentially coming here would be that he would keep Anthony Weaver as the defense. And I know a lot of Texan fans are like, why would you want to keep Anthony Weaver? The defense stunk. I think Anthony Weaver's a good coach. I think he's a good coach that got dealt a pretty bad hand this year.
Weaver gave Tim Tebow his first beer.
That's right.
No, I don't know if that's true. Weaver's no. Tim Tebow's never had a beer. I apologize.
Introduced him to the woman that he first fornicated with as well.
No, stop that. No, that would have been no, because that was not his. Well, you didn't meet his wife in 2010.
That's right.
So it would have been much, much later.
Just kidding. Okay, so you can say the beer thing, and I can make that joke, and you're all over me. Come on now. Seth, by the way, I like Revelle's. I like the Browns this weekend, not to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but I do like the 10 points. The Browns are a plucky team, and I think when you win a game without your head coach last week, the way they did in Pittsburgh, I think the boost you get from getting him back gets amplified. That, wow, we didn't even think we were going to be here, and now we get Stefanski back.
Or Kevin Stefanski was the problem all along.
There's a coaching controversy.
If Cleveland doesn't win this weekend, it's clear that Kevin Stefanski is the problem.
That's right.
And Jack Easterby. Why not?
Throw him in there. All right. We are done. We've got a Football Friday coming up tomorrow, Seth. And who knows what's going to happen? We had Andre Johnson tweet 2 days ago. We had James Harden get traded yesterday. Yeah. Who knows what's going
to happen? Who knows? You say that like it's an awesome thing. Like, yeah, who knows?
Well, for someone who, like you and I, putting a rundown together, this is an awesome thing. The show does write itself when these things happen. Antibodies, my friend.
Antibodies, and I apologize for getting all literal on you on the Tebow stuff. I got nervous. I thought God was going to smite me.
Okay. He may still.
Yeah, but for other stuff.
Right. All right, that's Seth Payne. I'm Sean Pendergast. Ben Gary produced, and we thank him for that. In the Loop is up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.